lot of things we are learning about almost forgotten event in Memphis history over the course of this semester, and it's all climaxing this weekend with the incredible symposium, which of course is Memories of a Massacre, Memphis in 1866, a symposium exploring slavery, emancipation, and reconstruction. The Memphis Massacre in May of 1866 was a horrific event that has sort of been swept under the rug since then, and we are learning more and more about it all the time, which is very, very good. Dr. Susan O'Donovan and Dr. Beverly Bond are here with me. They have organized this symposium as well as many other events over the course of the semester, and this is an amazing thing. I talked with Jonathan Judaikin a few months ago about Stephen Ashe's book about this Memphis massacre, and I think that many of us just did not have any idea of what this was, and it has been not only swept under the rug but mischaracterized for so very long. Beverly, what was this event?
This was an event in May of 1866. In which there was started as a conflict between local policemen, mm-hmm. identified mainly as Irish policemen, but I think that has a lot to do with the character of police forces and fire departments,
sure.
in that period,
mm-hmm.
and black soldiers who were or had been stationed at Fort Pickering. And it started in just a series of conflicts or confrontations between the two groups, which did not erupt. You know, there was something on April the 30th, of course, but these were like long-standing run-ins, which had gone on for several months. And at this particular moment, on April the 30th, one erupted into a little more than just a violent confrontation. And then for the next 3 days, there were attacks on the black community. This is not the classic race riot that we think of in the 20th and 21st century,
mm-hmm.
Where you think, okay, it's a race riot. Then that must mean that black people are destroying their own communities.
Right.
This is a different sort of race riot, more characteristic of the 19th century, in which these communities are under attack. So that's essentially what you see happening. Up to 48 or more African Americans were killed. Two white people were killed, a policeman and a fireman. About five women were raped. There were churches burned. All the churches or church congregation where they were worshiping were destroyed, black churches. All the schools that had been established by the Freedmen's Bureau or by the missionary societies were burned. And it was just a general attack on the community, burnings of houses, burning of businesses. Just general destruction of the community, within the black community that was emerging in the aftermath of Civil War, the end of the emancipation, the mm-hmm. end of the Civil mm-hmm. War, just a destruction of the community.
Susan, put this in the context of what was actually happening in terms of Reconstruction at this time.
I mean, Memphis... Oh, gosh, that's a big, big question. But Memphis is very much embedded in that larger Reconstruction history. It wasn't a one-off event. Memphis wasn't unique in the sense of the tensions and the rising tensions by late spring of 1866. This is something that the entire former Confederacy is experiencing, and there's a whole long history behind that. But,
right.
Memphis... In the larger context, Memphis helps tip the scales of Reconstruction because of when it happens and how it happens, and particularly the primary targets of the violence, which were these recently mustered out black soldiers. They had been soldiers up through the 30th of April, Union soldiers. This is a big, bloody, violent attack, and it shocks the nation. It shocks the nation so much that Congress actually decides to step up and step into Reconstruction and seize control over Reconstruction policy from President Andrew Johnson. And so, Memphis is a big story locally, but Memphis is a very big story nationally. Memphis prompts Congress to put the finishing touches to the 14th Amendment and send it out to the states for ratification, which happens in 1868. Memphis prompts Congress to extend the life of the Freedmen's Bureau, which is an agency that was formed in March of 1865, primarily to help usher former slaves onto this new terrain called freedom. And so Memphis has this very big long-term constitutional, legal, national impact. And in forgetting, in the, as you put it very, very, very well in your opening remarks, in sweeping the Memphis story under the rug, sweeping it out of sight, we've also swept out of sight kind of these social origins of the 14th Amendment and subsequently the 15th Amendment.
You've been doing things all semester long. You've had book readings, you've had discussions, you've had a lot of things going on. This is all culminating, as we said, this weekend with the symposium. So what's happening this weekend?
Okay, so what we're trying to do with the symposium is continue this conversation that we've started and have been engaging in since January. And we have met with just amazing support and turnout for every event that we have held this spring. And so the symposium is a way to really kind of bring everybody together in sort of a long, two-day intense conversation in which the public can engage with scholars, mm-hmm. specialists in the mm-hmm. field. And so what we're trying to do with the symposium, too, is to put Memphis on that larger historical landscape. To think about why Memphis, why May of 1866, why mm-hmm. didn't this happen somewhere else? What was unique about Memphis? And to sort of really think about the origins of this massacre, to think about the constitutional, legal, political impact of this massacre. And then the third big mission is the one that every community is grappling with in this country right now, is how do we think about Reconstruction? Where do we fit these stories of violence, of death, of murder, of race violence into our historical landscape? Reconstruction has never been spoken about publicly. There is no, well, until May 1st, there was no public marker to mm-hmm. Reconstruction. Yeah. It just hasn't existed, and so we're thinking about this. These are questions that other communities have to grapple with, or are trying to grapple with, in Hamburg, South Carolina, in Colfax, in New Orleans, Louisiana, to really think about how do we talk about Reconstruction? Where do we fit it into our historical memories? Can we continue to ignore it, or is it something that we really have to bring to the forefront and think deeply about? So that's what we're trying to do with the symposium.
And I think that this whole semester has been an educational process.
Sure.
And so many people, when we talk about the Memphis Massacre at the very beginning, they were like, oh, what is that?
Exactly.
Why don't I know this? It's what we hear this so often. And I teach at the university now, but I'm also an old high school history teacher. I don't want to say old. I am a seasoned high school history teacher. And I know that, you know, it's so easy. Civil War is easy to teach.
Sure.
Because you've got excitement, you've got battles. Segregation, Jim Crow segregation, you just see how that kind of evolves. But there's a period between mm-hmm. that's a little more difficult to excite people about. But if you don't know about the Reconstruction period and what happens there, and as I tell my classes on the university level right now, actually the construction of Black freedom, if you don't know what's happening then it is a little more difficult to put segregation, civil rights movement, to put them into the proper context. So we've spent a lot of time this semester in this educational process, and that's part of what the symposium is doing, is continuing this, just kind of bringing to the Memphis community some of the leading scholars in these areas and saying, okay, you know, we'll sit down, listen to them, and ask questions.
Mm-hmm. And so this is 2 days. It's Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
There are six panels, three on mm-hmm. Friday, three on Saturday. They're not very long panels. They're relatively short, mm-hmm. and there will be discussion times also,
yes.
and then you have a keynote address on Friday night.
Yes. Yes, we did that very deliberately because we had formatted originally a bit with a tighter schedule, which is something that we're comfortable with as academics. But over the semester, we realized that Memphis wants to talk about this. People at all of our events have wanted to talk. They wanted to ask questions. They really want to, you know, help working this out in their heads. And so we loosened up our schedule and we're doing it a little bit, you know, non-traditionally with three panels per day, with much a longer Q&A period, mm-hmm. because we don't want this scholars talking to the audience. Again, we want a discussion. That's what we're trying to generate here.
Okay. I'll encourage people to go to memphis.edu/memphis-massacre, and you can get the full schedule and look at the blog there, too, by the way, which is fascinating. Tell us about your keynote.
Our keynote speaker, we're really pleased to be able to bring in Robert K. Sutton, who's the chief historian of the National Park Service. The Park Service has been working for 20 years or longer to try to incorporate reconstruction into their commemorative activities. This is, we are the pilot program for the Park Service, the Memphis Massacre Project, and so we thought it would be more than fitting to have Bob Sutton come and talk to us. He was one of the leading figures in developing or expanding the interpretation of the Civil War to include slavery, to include black soldiers, to include women, to include the home front, topics that had all been left out of earlier Civil War commemorations. And so this is a enterprise that Bob Sutton's been involved in with for a very long time. So we're quite happy to have him come and speak for us on Friday evening.
That's very nice. Yeah, his speech is called "The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of American History: Remembering Reconstruction." So that certainly seems apt. We should mention there are still other things going on around town. There is an exhibit at the Orange Mound Gallery called "Free at Last." Some wonderful things there. I believe there's still an exhibit at the National Civil Rights Museum. Is there?
I'm not sure. We still have an exhibit at the Ned McWhorter Library on campus.
Okay.
And I'm glad you brought this up because the Memphis Massacre Project is not expiring on Saturday, May 21st. Our website will continue to expand with teachers' resources, with other resources for interested people. Our blog will continue. Our Facebook will continue. So will our Twitter feed. And then one of our bigger long-term projects, we are going to collect the papers from the symposium, add them to primary sources, and publish them as an anthology so that people who cannot attend can read. We're also videotaping the entirety of the symposium so that people will be able to see the video on our website. And best of all, C-SPAN is coming to film us on Saturday.
Very nice.
We are getting a lot of national longstanding attention.
That's nice. We want to mention that all these events are in the big theater, the main theater at the University Center, which is a very nice and state-of-the-art place. Every event is free and open to the public, so they strongly encourage you to come in. It's not going to be historians talking to historians. It's going to be discussion about this event.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
We don't want historians just talking to historians. We want to bring the community to the campus to engage in the conversation.
And from our experience, no one's going to be bashful and reluctant to engage.
Well, that's good. All right. It is Memories of a Massacre, Memphis in 1866, a symposium exploring slavery, emancipation, and reconstruction. It is this Friday and Saturday, as we mentioned, at the University Center. And go to memphis.edu/memphis-massacre. You can get all the information in the schedules there. Dr. Susan O'Donovan and Dr. Beverly Bond, my guest today, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much.